Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk Cannabis podcast, where we help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in the exploding cannabis marketplace. I'm Dave Jackson. Today, we're extremely excited to be joined by Brad Eckenweiler. Brad is the CEO of Core One Labs, a vertically integrated CSE-listed Canadian company with a razor-sharp focus on an adult-use and medicinal cannabis market. Mr. Eckenweiler is an executive with worldwide business experience in operations, corporate finance, multi-border negotiations, and global securities markets. From September 9th, 2013 to May 16th, 2014, he acted as the chief executive officer and as a member of the board of directors of Triton Emission Solutions, Inc., a company reporting under the Exchange Act, engaged in the business of emission abatement and control technologies for the marine industry. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us, Brad.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Brad, as we approach autumn 2019, unfortunately, that is just coming up around the corner. What's been the buzz on the street, pardon the pun, so far for Core One?
Well, I think most of the buzz has been anticipation. This has been a long time project. As many know, we started with the single purpose of making canna strips, which are a sublingual strip that delivers cannabis or any other product into your bloodstream in a very short period of time, 2 to 3 minutes, and is extremely effective in being able to avoid the first pass liver extraction of most materials that are either ingested or inhaled. What happened was it was impossible for LDS at the time to accumulate material to make strips that wasn't contaminated. And even if we found the right material, we could not find competent individuals who were capable of doing extractions and being able to nanoparticulate material the way we needed it formulated for our strips. So what happened was, to make this long story shorter, we had to basically take every aspect of this market and control it ourselves. So we're just now, after some 3 solid years of development, coming upon the precipice of being able to do every aspect from genetics and seeds to the nursery to cultivation to extraction to manufacturing to distribution, transportation, and now being able to deliver to the customer directly from either our online delivery or from our dispensary. So that's, you know, everyone's been anticipating this, the arrival of the dispensary and closing that final loop. And I think, you know, we broke ground last week. We're just, say, 8 to 10 weeks away from being able to realize that fully integrated ability to deliver not only canna strips, but any other cannabis product. So that's, I think, everything that people are talking about at this point. And hopefully that's going to translate into earnings, not just revenue, but earnings.
Good stuff. Now, Brad, you've just announced your first harvest, your first harvest from your subsidiary AgroTech. Can you walk us through the process of getting this amount of biomass to market?
Yeah, our first step in this endeavor was to create a genetic strain that we wouldn't have to use pesticides, we wouldn't have to use fungicides, nor would we have to use any elaborate fertilizer. We could basically do this grow outside organically. In California, because it's obviously still a restricted substance, we can't get that classification, but that's the route that we took. And so this first harvest was a real validation of all the work we've been doing, obviously, in the nursery, in the genetic side, to produce high-yielding, high-quality material outside without the extent, you know, the large expense of doing it inside. Because indoor here in California, power is very expensive. Southern California Edison, who would be our provider, is probably 4 or 5 times the price it would be, say, in Canada or in Washington, where they have hydroelectric, as opposed to generating most everything from natural gas here in California.
Yeah.
So number one was the genetics. Two was the fact that we had the expertise to actually grow it outside, harvest it. And now, obviously, we're going through the process of drying it, classifying it into shake, flour, high-grade flour. And then, obviously, our transportation distribution will begin to market it.
Letting Mother Nature take care of the product.
Yeah, and having the sun do all of our power needs for free. So,
yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense, especially in terms of vertical integration. Now, you've recently changed the company name from LDS to Core One. What prompted the name change and, at this point, the share consolidation?
The name change itself is just the fact that Lifestyle Delivery Systems was the name that obviously fit the company when our intention was to just make Canistrips. We were going to be able to deliver this material to the end user through his bloodstream with a much smaller dose and get a much longer, better reaction. So it was all about the delivery system. But in the course of learning all of these other expertise and adding all these expertise to the company, we're no longer just the Canistrip company.
Mm-hmm.
We are also now the genetic company, building genetics, not just for Canistrips, but for other uses. We're no longer just the Canistrip company when it comes to extraction, manufacturing. We can do this. Our expertise have expanded significantly, and I would match our expertise here with anyone's. Anyone who's been to our lab will attest to the fact that it's fairly spectacular. The fact is that we do more in the lab than we do just in Canistrips. And Lifestyle Delivery Systems really didn't tell the business-to-business model about what this company is all about. And the fact is, now we're taking on clients, obviously customers, for the genetic side, for the manufacturing extraction side. So the majority of our business will probably be third-party work. Even though Canistrips is growing, the majority of the revenue that's coming in currently is basically tied to the laboratory more than it is to the finished product.
Well, that's exciting news indeed.
Now, the consolidation was simply the fact that we had 140 million shares out, and
right. We
felt like our news wasn't giving enough impact to our shareholders. And I think we're going to find very quickly that this consolidation will be a significant benefit to the shareholders, in the sense that when we put news out, it's going to have much more impact on the valuation.
Great stuff. Now, can you discuss, as a segue, the long-term strategy of the company moving forward, Brad? And, you know, how do you see the adult-use cannabis sector evolving?
Well, I think one of the most important pieces of what we're doing is, in fact, the genetics side, because we're finding the fact that more and more the cost is the differentiating factor from winning in this sector and not winning in this sector. And if you have to grow your material indoors, your costs are going to be 8 to 10 times what our costs are growing outdoors. So this is something we started to look at, obviously, more than almost 2 years ago now. And I think the view for the company is that if we don't control all of these aspects of our supply chain, then we will not probably be a leader in this industry. We're seeing our neighbors having issues already. The fact is that our long-term focus is to be totally integrated so that we don't have to pay margins to other companies in between to do certain aspects of extraction, cultivation, nursery, manufacturing. We keep that all in-house. That means that obviously we're producing for less. Our cost of producing anything is less than everybody else's. And at the end of the day, in any business model, your cost is a significant concern. And everyone's always trying to cut their costs. And honestly, the only way to do that in this sector is to be able to control all those areas. And I don't mean just by fact of contract, but I mean honestly control those areas so that you are the ones that make the decision. This company, 41 Labs, will be making the decision of what plants go in the ground, when they're harvested, be able to obviously structure our harvests for our needs, and at the same time be able to extract, distill, manufacture products ranging from gummy bears to vapes and obviously canisters.
Yeah.
So again, that's our focus. Our focus is to be able to put the best product on the shelf or at your doorstep for the least amount of money.
Now, Brad, CEO is or can be a nebulous title. It can mean many different things to many different companies. What's been your primary role in the company since you started? And what's your primary vision moving forward?
Well, I have to say, it was never my intention to be CEO for any length of time. But the first team of the Canistrips team that had started did not have the expertise, weren't capable of doing a significantly business-like job. They were, for the most part, from the cannabis industry, and things like regulatory compliance and taxes and other things were completely foreign to them. I thought that I could probably come in, add those capabilities, and the company would be able to move forward doing canistrips. My role has probably been far expanded from what a CEO would normally do, in the sense that I've personally been involved in every aspect of the company's licensing, the company's obviously regulatory-ish requirements, and all the developments that we've had. That's more than a CEO would normally be asked to do or should probably be doing. However, the fact is that finding the right people in this industry has been difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing it slowly, but there's probably no aspect of this company down to pouring concrete that I haven't been involved in. So at this point, my hope is that sometime next year in the 2020 year, I will be able to probably move off into maybe a chairmanship, and we'll put a CEO in that only has to act as a CEO, doesn't have to have construction background or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're putting the right people in place, and obviously a big benefit to this company has been the addition of Casey Fenwick, our president, who has not only a significant amount of business expertise, but also has a depth of understanding of the California cannabis market, which is unheard of in this industry. So, the CEO role and this particular CEO role has not been an easy one. It will be a very fulfilling one upon the completion of this dispensary and the ability to integrate from seed to your doorstep. Then I will feel like we've accomplished something.
In this industry, a little dirt under the fingernails doesn't really hurt, does it?
No, and it's really helpful. I mean, we have our own contractor, and he, you know, my dad was a contractor. I grew up on that side of the real estate world, and so that was an easy piece for me. The harder piece was the fact that it was very difficult to find anyone who you could depend on in the cannabis industry.
Sure.
So, but we've done a pretty good job of building a team in Core One Labs, all of whom have the same focus, which is primarily the customer, because CannaStrip started as a solution for juvenile cancer patients. So they didn't have to ingest, they didn't have to smoke to get the benefits of CBD and CBG and THC for their treatments. That hasn't changed. That is one of our primary goals, honestly, is now with this dispensary, I know we'll probably talk about that a little bit, but with this dispensary, we will in California be allowed finally to donate strips. It's going to be huge for us because there's so few marketing avenues that are afforded to us. The fact that we can donate strips to the Veterans Administration, to kids with cancer, to seniors, elderly, Alzheimer's patients, this will get us press and recognition and, more importantly, research data firsthand, which there's very little of in this cannabis industry. So again, to be working for Core One Labs, you have to have a primary focus of the customer. That goes without saying. And everybody is on. That's why when you go to the lab and you see everybody, they're enthusiastic, they're excited, because they're doing something that's not just to make a dollar, hopefully to make somebody else's life better. So
yeah, and it's a step beyond just simply being corporate responsible, being, the corporate responsibility side of the business. It really, to me, it sounds as though it really has an altruistic sense to it.
We think so. I mean, we think that we can be a better company by being a better steward of the benefits of cannabis. Mm-hmm. If we can help people and do a great job and put a spectacular product out there, I think we set a better example because, quite frankly, the majority of this industry does not have that focus. They may have the verbiage or the jargon, but if you see their acts, if you see how they treat their community or how involved they are, you'll find that very, very, very few have any involvement other than the business involvement that they have.
Well, good on you, Brad. I think our investors really appreciate you explaining that to them. That's different in this industry.
Well, again, if you've had any time to come see us or you've, spent any time around this industry, I think this will all come to fruition when not only our shareholders, but the rest of the industry sees our ability to donate to these causes, help these children and seniors and veterans who can't afford one more additional medication or solution. I think that's going to make a big difference. And hopefully, I don't want to put it in these terms, but hopefully we shame everybody into doing the same thing.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're trying to say there for sure. Let's segue into CannaStrips. Amazing product, Brad. Plain and simple. And they've taken the California market by storm. So can you tell us about this formulated oral strip product and fill us in on some of the growth projections for CannaStrips moving forward?
Well, first of all, the product itself is unique, patented, and it's like no other delivery system. Regardless of whether we're talking about cough syrup or any type of pain medication, pharmaceutical level, or anything else, this product basically can take a significantly smaller dose of whatever medicine or solution you want to deliver, put it in your bloodstream. It is nanoparticulated so that it is very easy to break that barrier between your mucous membrane and your saliva, and it also has a formulation that basically disrupts that, allows it easy entry into your bloodstream. So within 2 to 3 minutes, the material's in your bloodstream. It is also encased in a lipocide. This lipocide is stealth to the liver. So the 10 milligram dose that you're allowed in California can last anywhere from 4 hours to 6 hours. And it's not time release. It's just bioavailable for a period much longer than if you had smoked it or you'd ingested it. The other thing about smoking and ingesting, that raw molecule in your system is being basically filtered out by your liver every 3 to 5 minutes. So within a very short period of time, the benefit of smoking or ingesting something has already diminished within the first hour or two. This allows that benefit to last 3 to 4 times longer, which for a patient suffering pain or someone trying to deal with inflammation could be significantly more effective. The other thing is that cost. Because we're able to do so much with just 10 milligrams, mm-hmm. our retail price is $1 a strip. And anyone who's tried the strip will tell you that the effects are significant. We've had people that, you know, that are users in other forms of delivery, and there's no one who's tried this strip who doesn't come away saying this is remarkable. And the fact that it lasts a period of time, and because of the liposide, you can't overdose on this because the liposides are all positively charged. So you can't get more than one molecule on a receptor at a time. Whereas if you were using a bong or something else, mm-hmm. you could get overwhelmed, even though it would be for an hour or hour and a half. But that can't really happen with this. You can extend it. You can extend the feeling of being high or the benefit of reducing inflammation for a longer period of time, but you're not going to be overwhelmed. And I think that has a benefit as well. So this strip, and you have to understand, in California, we can't just go distribute to everybody because there are relationships with all the dispensaries and with their distribution and for their distributors and what have you. Mm-hmm. Much like anything else in the wine industry, you might not be able to get the wine you want at this restaurant because their distributor doesn't do that one, or, you know, they're precluded for some reason.
Definitely.
But what's going to happen with the dispensary is that at least starting in Southern California, and we're already working on things in Central and Northern California, but starting in Southern California, you'll be able to go online, order a can of strips or anything else that's on our dispensary menu, and have it delivered. So our marketing and the explosion of can of strips will become significantly greater upon the availability, the ease of availability, because, you know, let's face it, more people want to do things online. More people want it delivered to their home than drive to a brick and mortar. The other thing is Wednesday night this week, I believe it's the 18th of September, we'll be in front of the city council for what will hopefully be our final reading for our drive-through. So the dispensary will have a drive-through if that's approved. And that in itself, according to any other industry, should double or triple the sales at that dispensary. So we're hoping in a lot of different ways that this into this fourth quarter and the beginning of the first quarter 2020 is going to be the real watershed, the real kind of the climax to all the things that we've put together, and they finally will all get to play together from the genetics right down to delivering that product to you. And with all those pieces working, it will be a very exciting 2020 for sure.
Great stuff, Brad. Now, finally, what can you tell our investor audience regarding the current valuation of the stock and why it's a good buy right now?
Well, I truly don't believe the market has come to grips with what the fully integrated entity is going to be able to produce. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's going to reduce our taxes, reduce our costs, allow us to produce and deliver products at a price that no one else can do obviously hasn't filtered down to the market and to our valuation at this point. But the fact is that over the next 2 to 3 months, this realization is going to become very evident because it's going to be seen in our quarterlies. You're going to see it in the growth of our sales and obviously in our revenue. I think once the complete and total understanding of what was LDS and now is Core One Labs is built is significant. And it isn't, we didn't build this to do something quickly. Obviously, it's taken time, but we've built it for the future. We built an operation that will last a significantly longer period of time than would have had we only done one aspect of this, had we only just done manufacturing or something else. This company, being this diverse and being able to pull revenues from so many different areas, will give it the benefit of more opportunities and, in hard times, more revenue streams, whether they shrink or get bigger or whatever the case may be. This company, once this is understood, once you can see this in its totality, that I think is going to be when valuations become closer to what I believe this company is worth. So currently, obviously, you know, many CEOs may say this, but I honestly believe we're undervalued because people don't understand what the future is and how close the future is. Mm-hmm. So once that becomes a reality, I think our valuation will begin to reflect that and benefit our shareholders who've been so patient, who understand the product, and now will begin to understand the reason and ultimately the need for the integration. So I think once those things come to light, our valuation will certainly reflect it.
Well, thanks again, Brad, for spending a few moments with us here at Stockhouse. Very much appreciated.
I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time, Dave, and thank all the listeners for spending a few minutes with me.
Our pleasure. We've been speaking with Brad Eckenweiler, CEO of Core One Labs. Once again, I'd like to thank Brad for joining us and sharing this helpful and insightful information about Core One with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Cannabis Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.